Well, grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. We're on the last Sunday of the church year, and we have Jesus telling us, be careful, watch out. And he's saying that because your faith can fade. Nobody actually becomes a Christian with the expectation that they will fall away, or expecting that they'll stop going to church, or expecting that they'll become weak in their faith. And yet the sad reality is, those things can and really do happen, and they happen to people, sadly, every day. It's sad that what starts out with such promise, the promise of eternal life, can end with such sorrow, when instead of growing closer to our Savior, we grow apart from Him. Instead of growing into Christ, we grow used to, we grow accustomed to our Savior, and we take Him for granted, and we start slipping away. Our prayers can dwindle to nearly nothing. We don't read God's Word. We don't feed our souls on God's holy Word, and He doesn't occupy any part of our day. In fact, sometimes He occupies barely an hour a week. We become spiritual sofa spuds or couch potatoes for Christ, and we let the world lull us into a lazy, I'll get to it later attitude. That's the kind of sleepiness Jesus is warning against in that gospel reading today when he says, stay awake, stay alert, watch out. He's saying, be careful of that spiritual stupor that can fall on us Christians and can end in spiritual death. It really is the greatest danger facing you in this world. It's a greater threat to you than persecution or terrorism or bad health or economic collapse or anything else this world might think you can throw at you. The greatest threat is to grow accustomed to our Savior and get bored with Him. It's to take your faith for granted. It's to think that you don't really need the church, you don't really need the Bible, because you can get there on your own. None of us expects that kind of thing to happen to us, but it does. And we would do well to hear what Jesus says when he tells us to be careful, to watch out. But of course, that's always easier said than done. It's good to tell people, stay awake, stay alert. But Satan, the world, and our sinful self are all singing us a sinful lullaby, trying to lure us away from the Savior and into the death of spiritual sleep. They're telling us to relax, to take it easy. They're whispering in our ears that our sins are not really all that important, and they're not really so bad. They're seducing us into thinking that we have plenty of time to make things right later. Just do it later. Lulling us into thinking that the busyness of life that elbows out our reading of the Bible and our prayers, well, it's understandable. I mean, the world's a busy place. We can do that later. They tell us those little sins, those subtle sins, those everyone does them sins, they shouldn't trouble your conscience. Just sleep, good Christian. Sleep in complacency. Sleep in security. Just sleep. You see, Satan doesn't always come like a roaring lion with fire blazing. He comes any way he can get you. And sometimes he comes softly. And I know that's happened to every one of you here. I know it's happened to you because it happens to me, doesn't it? The busyness gets to you, the chaos gets to you. You think you can put it off, and eventually you get into the habit of just always putting it off, and you need to reset. I know it's happened to all of you because Satan doesn't leave any Christian alone. He's not going to. He wants you, and he's going to come get you any way he can. And he knows how to get to you. The world just keeps picking and eating away at us. Our old sinful flesh just gets tired of the constant struggle and battle, and that siren song of the lullaby just sounds so sweet to us. Which is why Jesus tells us, keep awake. Do not go gentle into that spiritual night. Do not listen to the lying lullaby of Lucifer. Resist temptation and hate sin. Keep the commandments. Be consistent and constant in your prayer. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest those sacred, holy words of God. Remember your baptism. Feed and strengthen your faith. Set your mind on things above. Lift up your hearts to the Lord. Have mercy on others. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. Just do those things, and you'll stay awake. And it's important to do those things, because the master of the house will return, and you don't know when. So there's a list. It's not that long of a list. Just do them. That's easy to say. But who among us can do them and do them consistently day in and day out with all that comes at us in this world? That unholy trinity of Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh, it's just too much for us. Satan is too sly, the world is too wicked, and our sinful self is often too squishy to stand up against the muster of the world that is against us. As hard as we might try, as many times as you might make an effort to reset and restart, how many times have we fallen down and failed? You see, the truth is, if our spiritual health and our spiritual life depended on us, we'd be in a world of hurt. We'd be lost. We'd be lost eternally. And that's a mighty depressing message to give you as the last message of the church here. But we do have more to say. I told some of you before the service there's a quiz in the sermon. The quiz is the promise that Jude gave. And I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many remember the good news that Jude gave in our epistle reading? Did it catch you falling asleep? Did they catch you not listening? It happens all the time, right? This is what Jude said. He said, God can guard you so that you do not stumble, so that you can be full of joy as you stand in his glorious presence without fault. You see, there is one who is able to do all those things in that list. There is one who is able where we are not. It is the one who kept Noah safe in the flood. It's the one who kept Abraham safe during his pilgrimage, the one who freed Israel from slavery, brought them through the wilderness to the promised land, and gave them manna to eat and water to drink from a rock, the one who kept David safe from Goliath and from Saul, the one who protected the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's the one who kept Daniel safe from the lions, the one who kept Peter safe from his own fears and denials, the one who kept Thomas safe from his own doubts, the one who even right now, even on this very day, keeps his bride, the church, safe against the gates of hell and the gaping jaw of false teaching and false doctrine that buffets us every day. He is able. He is not only able, but he has promised to give you life. And he's given his word on it, his holy word. Both physical and spiritual life are given by his powerful word, his word which called all of creation into existence at the beginning. His word which called Lazarus from the tomb. His word which calls us from death to life in the waters of holy baptism. His word which is able to keep us awake until he comes again. His word of law that corrects and terrifies us. His word of gospel that comforts and forgives us. His word which, through bread and wine on this table, gives us Jesus' very body and very blood to feed us and to forgive us and to strengthen us. His word that tells us of our Savior's love and his care and his faithfulness and his promises, because he wants none of us to fall asleep. His desire is that none of us fall away. From the first to the last, from the beginning to the end, he wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He gives his word, and with his word he gives his life-giving Holy Spirit to not only keep us awake, but to keep us growing in him, growing into mature Christians. Your Savior knows a love for you that is unlike anything we can grasp. He knows that love, that deep love, that dying on the cross for you kind of love. He is the bridegroom who has laid down his life for his rebellious and unfaithful bride, because in his love for you, he simply couldn't do anything else. His vow was not just for better or for worse, or until death do us part, because he knew what the worse could be. He knows how sinful sin is and how it affects us. And so he did lay down his life, and through his death and resurrection made sure that even death could not part us. And so now, by grace, through faith, we can live with him forever, washed clean and made blameless by his love. This is the bridegroom who is returning for you, but not just a groom, but the king. When will that day come? None of us knows. Maybe it'll be on the last day of that day that is the end of all things. Maybe it'll be sooner than that. Like I told the kids, we have a funeral tomorrow for Marvin Moe. Many of you knew him. Good, just solid Christian man. He didn't know when that day was coming. His family didn't know. We didn't know. But still it came. None of us knows. But the good news is it just doesn't really matter when it comes, because you have a promise from your Savior. He has promised to keep you in life and in death. Your Savior has given you here the divine service, right? The weekly worship service that we have here that acts as kind of a dress rehearsal for what will one day be the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which will never end. Here your groom comes to you each week, forgiving you, feeding you, keeping you, until one day we will, as the hymn we just sang said, enter all the wedding hall. And what a day that will be. In Jesus' name, amen.